Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio.
Or as Elijah Herbal would say, coffee and sugar.
Cream and sugar. Cream and sugar.
No, I'm still the coffee. It's coffee and cream in the morning.
I'm not sure you can call me the sugar.
Coffee and cream in the morning on Hale Varsity Radio, powered by Currency DB, out today. So Elijah in.
I don't think I've worked the poll enough to be called sugar just yet.
No.
Gosh,
now what? Is it?
No. Now I'm trying to think, like, because you wouldn't be like espresso, because I feel like we are. Is Mike Sauter the espresso, Shane?
That is not true.
I don't know. He goes off every now and then. Maybe we'll ask him later on the show. It is. It honestly is. Mike Sauter still thinks he could take me down in a wrestling match with or recovering from knee surgery. He couldn't do that if he were healthy.
Well, he could maybe take you down, but then he'd have to go for another knee surgery. love you, Mike, if you're listening.
No,
Clyde,
no, you don't have to suck up to Mike. Mike is his own man. He's probably just hanging out with his dog right now, waiting to come on. Yeah, I know. I know, Mike. I hear you, too.
I don't know.
we'll get a few of those today.
Oh, man, you're going to put me on the spot.
Maybe. Maybe once or twice. This again
sounds about right.
This is Shane all day, every day, putting drops.
Oh yeah,
a lot of drops.
Doubt. No doubt.
Yes, it is. See, no doubt.
Over on Hale Varsity, I pick like one new drop and I try it out. And Schmitty goes, never play that again.
Shane doesn't care. He does what he wants over there in his little doghouse, right, Shane?
I would agree, Damon.
No, I'm not Damon.
I don't think it is.
You don't think what is?
I feel like you're going back to square one.
Yeah, that's about where I'm about to take you.
I don't know.
Let's go back to
square
one.
So you're saying I played too many drops?
No, I said...
Shame on me.
You just run the show.
Well, you know what it's got to be.
It's got to be touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Yeah, man, I like
football
that.
Season.
That's a good drop.
Brian Edwards. Yeah, we talked to him yesterday.
Well, you know what we run, don't
he
we?
He liked plus nine, and that plus nine did not hit for the Heat.
No.
I took minus nine in our steak and a beer bay yesterday on RSC Radio.
That's a lot of points.
Oh, it was. You're playing at altitude after that grueling seven-game series. We'll get into that later. I think we need to get back into Jeff Sims. But, no. The nine, it worried me at the end. But now young Connor Clark owes me a steak and a beer. So
That doesn't sound too shabby. Okay, so the quarterback situation that we were talking about going into break, is it's interesting in itself because there are less bodies in the room after Smothers hit the portal. So now it's Sims, it's Harburg, it's Purdy, and then some other new faces. Potentially.
Eli Woke from an Ole Miss, like a walk-on transfer.
But like, how much does that like really fill your room? Maybe it does a lot. Maybe it doesn't.
Big body.
The good
big
news is, let's just lay this out. I'm a big proponent of you don't need a lot of depth at the quarterback position. It's not like, you know, your secondary, it's not like your line. One guy plays, and until one guy gets hurt, one guy plays. You don't rotate, more times than not, right? You don't rotate. You have that ability with Harburg, but Sims can do everything that Harburg can do. So because of that, that's why I don't fault anybody that hits the portal, because they're looking for a situation to play. You're not going to get a lot of that if you are third, even second on most lists, but that's just me getting. I'm off my soapbox now, Elijah. You can kick it over and say, Andrew, stop stepping up there. We don't need to do that anymore.
Well, there is. I think the importance of the quarterback position, especially in a conference like the Big Ten, is having a two deep. You need to have one guy.
Yeah, I'm good with two.
One that's your guy. A second guy that you know you can rely on.
Honestly, I'm good with three.
I mean,
I think
go
three
back
is the number nowadays.
I'm just going back through my Rolodex of Husker seasons and I can't remember the last time that the starting quarterback for Nebraska started all 12 games. I think back, maybe back to maybe it was 1 year Tommy Armstrong did it. I don't know. He didn't because he got knocked out of that Ohio State game. You always had Riker Fife come in. Like Nebraska football, and they've been a little unlucky there that it's happened every single season. But Nebraska fans at least need to plan on next season based on recent history. That Jeff Sims is not going to start every single game.
That's a rarity, though, in football, that Nebraska holds a feat like that. If that is indeed true, we don't have the stats in front of us, but if that is true and based on your historic knowledge, I'm going to go with it, that's not common.
I mean, there's factors to look at there where Nebraska's offensive line the past couple of years has been a problem that you can look at in terms of quarterback injuries. how Adrian Martinez played the game, how Tommy Armstrong played the game going back, how Taylor Martinez played the game. Like, these guys weren't afraid to stick their nose in, mm-hmm. you know. You pick up a knock here and there. It happens in football. I'm not guaranteeing you that Jeff Sims is going to miss a game next year, but that's just kind of how it goes with the quarterback position in the Big Ten. You're going to get knocked up. There's a lot of mean dudes on defensive lines in the Big Ten. At some point in the season, you're going to pick up a knock. Are you going to be able to play through that? That's another question. But I think having a second guy that you can at least be comfortable to come in for a game or two in a season is very important in the Big Ten. But I'm with you in terms of the third and fourth guy, fifth guy in the depth chart. At a Power 5 school,
not too worried if they go to the portal and get somebody. Or if they're like, hey, we got to get somebody out of this class just to fill a spot. Like, I'm just not too worried about that. And I don't think Coach Rhule is either.
Well, I think there's something different about the Husker football team this year. Whenever you hear Matt Rhule talk his plans for the offense, it's going to be the first time in a while that I don't believe the offense, the most important player, is going to be the quarterback. At least in Matt Rhule's ideal offense. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want the guy that the offense, like the be-all, end-all of the offense, to be the quarterback. And that's a stark departure from what Scott Frost ran around here. And I think, as you mentioned, Minnesota fans talking about not being worried about Jeff Sims, I think that's going to be something they're going to have to adjust to as well. That at Nebraska, it's like, look at Michigan. I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy's not a good quarterback, but he's not the most important player in that offense. Like, whenever you look at Michigan, you don't say, well, we got to make sure J.J. McCarthy doesn't beat us. That's what I think Matt Rhule's goal is moving forward for this Husker team, is it's not going to be other teams and other fans saying, you know what, we can't let Jeff Sims beat us. That's how it was with Nebraska in the past couple years. Last year was, man, Casey Thompson, can't let him beat us. Adrian Martinez, that dude can do it all. He can run, he can throw, you can't let him beat us. That's not what Matt Rhule wants for his offense, at least based on what I hear from him. I don't think he wants it to be an offense where if the quarterback has a bad day, your offense has a bad day. He wants other guys in that offense to pick up the strain, namely, I think, the offensive line, the running back position. The offense as a whole is going to be much more of a cohesive unit rather than what you see a lot of places in college football, which is we're going to get the ball in the hands of our best player, and we're going to let him take over a game. I don't think that's what Matt Rhule wants moving forward.
Yeah, and I think to add to your point, that all extends further if you have other spots on the field that are just completely dominant. And because J.J. McCarthy, as much as he could take over a game, you look at Minnesota and you're like, well, defensively they're, you know, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, up front they're unbelievable, which allows Blake Corum and Edwards to be unbelievable. But I would say, yeah, if you're looking from an offensive stance, like, who's going to shut me down? I'm worried about those running backs.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to focus on them more than I'm going to focus on JJ. So you bring up a good point with that. But in regards, outside of just comparing it that way, how would you react to what I gave you going into the break when I said, hey, somebody out there is talking about how Nebraska isn't a team that they're worried about throwing the football in week one. Nebraska won't scare you throwing the football. Jeff Sims is a guy that doesn't have a lot of talent because his numbers don't show it, which that right, we can address that first. That right there is a skewed stat to begin with, because he was injured, and his stats are very limited. It's a small sample size, and he was also playing in a completely different conference than what he's playing in now. So how much does – you can look at it from the stance of maybe passing doesn't matter too much, right? Maybe you should worry about the run game, but he can also sling it too. But your thoughts to all of those things?
Well, I'm with you in terms of – it's dumb to overlook a conference opponent, especially in week one. Like, oh, like this dude's not going to beat us with his arm. You don't know what the hell Matt Rhule's offense is going to look like next year. Don't fool yourself, Minnesota fans. Like, if you think PJ Fleck isn't sitting here going, like, if he's not a little bit worried about what Nebraska's going to roll out with week one, he's a psycho person. We already know PJ Fleck's a little bit of a psycho person, but he's going to be worried because you don't know what Nebraska's offense is going to look like next season. You don't know how Jeff Sims is going to respond to being in a new system. Yeah, you can look at the film at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's offense is not what Nebraska's offense is going to be. Simply put, it's different pieces, different coaching staff, completely different. So I think, I mean, it's one thing if you look at Iowa's offense and say, I'm not worried about them beating us through the air. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. You have recent history. It's the same offensive coordinator. You're going to have a similar scheme. There's some different weapons in Iowa City. But if you say that, I can at least say, okay, you can back that up with evidence. For Nebraska, where's the evidence that Jeff Sims, aside from his stats at Georgia Tech, which, as I laid out,
right,
not the best barometer, where can you look at that and say, Jeff Sims, he's not a concern to beat us with his
arm? And to add to your point with Matt Rhule, Like, where in Matt Rule's repertoire do you see that you can't win by throwing the football? Like, yeah, we know he likes to run it, but let's go back to even just Temple when he had P.J. Walker. Like, that dude, he was a baller.
He was a baller, but, like, the scheme opened things up for Temple as well. They're running the ball down everybody's throat. They're physical. You got to bring a safety down into the box to be ready for that run game. And you know what? When you got one-on-one coverage with a single high safety, it's a lot easier for a quarterback to break you down and beat you that way.
Dude's a baller.
P.J. Walker? Oh, yeah. P.J. Walker was a baller. So I struggle to believe that, like, Nebraska's not going to go what they've done the past couple years, line up in shotgun, run a passing combo, and say our receivers are going to beat your defensive backs and our quarterback is going to put the ball on the money. That's not what Nebraska's offense is going to be like.
Because Matt Rule is, like, he's his own person.
If Matt Rule's offense is fully what he wants it to be this season, it's going to be play action. It's going to be RPO. Mm-hmm. You're going to get 7 yards of separation on your wide receiver. Jeff Sims is going to be making easier throws because that defense is going to have to respect the running game. So, like, it's crazy to me that somebody's already making that assumption that, oh, Nebraska's passing attack is going to beat you. It's so much deeper than what Jeff Sims is and what the talent is. Like, Matt Rule wants to scheme open passing attack.
It's all about who's open, right? And based on what you said, play action. What do you do after play action? You can either run, you can throw. What do you do in RPO? You can either run or you can throw. Like, Matt Rule opens himself up and this team up to so many different things because he doesn't leave anything to chance, right? So he's not just going to keep it with one option. He's going to give himself every opportunity, or not just himself, but his team, his quarterback, to make a play. And whether that's a 5-yard pass or whether that's a 40-yard pass, he's going to open up a place to make a play. And so, yeah, I know there's going to be critics out there all offseason. Again, you know, skipping past a conference opponent, skipping over Nebraska as a passing offense, skipping right to week 3.
We talk about Nebraska every single day. We don't even know what the offense is going to look like.
Mike Schaefer up next.